noise.
I hear a noise.
What is it? I think it's the Botanical Creative. Hi, everybody. Welcome. I'm joined by Bunny Marie.
Oh, gosh. Hi.
That's Bunny. And myself.
Do you want to introduce them to the topic if they haven't already guessed it?
It's this.
Sounds horrifying.
Okay, it's bees if you hadn't guessed already.
Well, it's a bit more than bees, isn't it?
That's lots of bees. That's a beehive.
Yes.
But anyway, today's topic is all about buzzing bees.
Oh my god, this is going to be an entertaining episode.
So Bonnie is here to introduce us to some...
Oh my god.
Bees!
So we're talking gardening for... Or bee-friendly gardening, aren't we?
Yes. Bee-friendly.
Oh my god, Ellie Jane, you're like an old man with these drones. No, but so... No, don't press it again. Bee pollinating or bee-friendly gardening, yes. So, Ellie Jane, have you ever seen a bee-friendly garden?
I've seen a bee. I'm not sure about bee-friendly garden. I'm not sure what that kind of
have you ever stood out in our own garden?
I have. And I've seen many a bee.
It's a bee-friendly garden.
Oh, okay. What makes a bee-friendly garden?
A few different things. So, you know, providing...
Happy bees?
Happy bees, yes. You can have happy bees. But a garden that has, you know, a diverse range of different types of bee species is usually a good indication that's a good bee-friendly garden.
Are they all friends and having parties?
Not
and...
always, no. Oh. But, no, there's a few steps to a bee-friendly garden. So, obviously, you care for the bees. You provide shelter for the bees.
You provide... Give them a little house.
Well, some you can, some you can't. But you provide them food as well. And then you provide them with a good, tasty beverage.
Hmm. And then you get them working hard.
And get them working hard, yes. But no. So I'm going to probably read you just a quick little paragraph from an article I wrote this year about gardening.
Story about bees.
Gardening for the pollinators, but it just gives you an insight. So what I have written is, having a pollinator-friendly garden is one of the best ways to assist in saving our declining population of native bees in Australia. We have over 1,700 species of native bees, which are responsible for pollinating our indigenous flora and increasing the yields of our food crops in our very own gardens. With the addition of friendly garden practices and pollinator-attracting plants, you can provide a long-lasting source of food, meaning pollen and nectar, and shelter and building materials needed for bees.
Hmm. So what kind of role do they play? Because you said they increase yield.
Yeah, so there's
how does that kind of work?
So there's a few different types. So the common bee that everyone is probably the most familiar with is the European bee, and they're probably one of the best bees for increasing pollination in our food crops, so doing cross-pollination between different flowers to make sure that you get your food that develops,
yeah,
especially in like fruit trees and then some vegetables as well. So they're really important, especially with a lot of farmers. But there's a native bee, which is the blue-banded bee, which I don't know, have you seen a photo of it?
It's a cute little bee.
It's a very small bee, very rounded bee, and it's a really fast bee. But the difference between a blue-banded bee and a European bee, one, obviously, they're indigenous, but they burrow into the ground in winter.
Oh.
So they're not active in the cooler months. They'll be sleeping under the soil in the garden.
Oh, they'll be, like, sleeping.
Yeah, they're like little bears. They go dormant.
Bee bears.
Is that what you call them? Dormant? What do you say? Not pollinating.
Hibernating?
Thank you.
They're definitely not pollinating if they're asleep. Not sure how that works.
They hibernate in the soil for about 3 to 4 months, and then they come out.
And just pop out.
From the soil, and then they scavenge. But they're solitary bees. They're not...
They're lonely bees.
Yeah, they like to be lonely. They don't form
homes. They like to be by themselves.
Oh my god, she's really proud of that one. No, don't you dare hit that button again. Oh.
That's the sound of happy bees.
But no, they're solitary bees, so they don't form a hive, and they don't...
they don't form a hive.
No, so they...
Then what do they do?
So what happens
is... Independent.
They are independent. So with blue-banded bees, they'll go around, look for food, which they'll take back to their underground burrows where they've got egg cells. Yeah, and in these egg cells, they've obviously got the larvae, which pupates and then forms into a new bee, right? But they harvest all this food and they pop it into those little cells.
Mm.
And then often when you see blue-banded bees, you may come across the blue cuckoo bee. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
I don't know.
And that's a neon blue bee, really big bee, sort of the shape of like a wasp body. And what those bees do, they follow where the blue-banded bees are, and then they go into those hives.
And impersonate them?
They kill the larvae, they sit in those egg cells, and then they eat all the food. I'll tell you, you have a notification.
I'm so sorry.
But no, they sit in those egg cells, so the baby bee's been killed. And they're eating all the food that this mother blue-banded bee is bringing them.
They're evil bees.
They're nasty bees, but they also pollinate your garden. But the blue-banded bee is one of the best pollinators in the garden.
Okay. Works the hardest.
Very hard-working bee, but it is dormant through that winter period. Whereas European bees will continue...
All year round?
Yeah, but they're not as active through the winter, but you'll still notice them.
Okay. And then these evil bees are just all year round? Or?
Yeah. Mostly year-round, but they will follow where the blue-banded bees go.
Okay. Do you find these different bees in certain areas, or they're kind of just all over the place?
There's certain areas, so you find in different altitudes will affect different bees.
Mm.
And also with cold, so where we are, we get heavy, heavy frost and negative degrees. You'll notice a lot of bees will die in that cold.
Mm-hmm.
I know. But bees don't have a very long lifespan anyway, so most of them
will die. Sort of bees with little booties.
Warm. Little beanies and mittens on.
Yeah.
But no, so I guess understanding the type of bees that you want to attract into your garden, but the way to become bee friendly or have a bee friendly garden is to provide them with shelter. So that's, you know, planting maybe dense plants that create a bit of a habitat for them to nest in or hide in, especially from other predators, like other predatory insects and things like that. But also you can provide them with insect hotels, which doesn't work for the European bees, but it does work for the native bees. Yeah, you know,
they stay in hotels.
They stay in fancy 5-star hotels.
Oh.
But no, so bee insect hotels work quite well, but you need to be patient with them because a lot of people put them up.
Be patient.
You got them rolling out. But no,
me, it was you.
I didn't realise. But no, with these insect hotels, if they don't work right away, you just need to keep moving them in around the garden until you find that sort of sweet spot that they take to.
Check in?
Yeah, they like to check in and check out.
Have you got a bee hotel?
Yeah, we've got one here. It's full of straw because they're native wasps, which are also, you know, they're not bad for your garden, they're actually beneficial. They grab all the sugarcane mulch and they pull it in. I've actually got video of it, which I can pop on our
socials. The bees don't do that, though?
Some bees will. They'll collect straw or leaf matter. And that's
where they kind of just, like, stay?
That's where they lay their eggs and...
Stay the night. For a few nights.
Check in for a week and then check out on Monday.
That's where they go on holiday.
That's where they will lay a lot of their eggs, and then that will be like their home for that season, and then they will probably move on to a different area. But there's
just into a new hotel.
But the leaf cutter bees, they go up to like roses and salvias, and they'll cut a perfect circle every single time, and then they take that little circle of leaf back with them to shove into their.
How do they cut it in a circle?
They're just
like little circle saws.
They're just very smart bees. but it's perfectly circled. So if you ever have foliage damage to your plants,
and you got a circle in it,
it's from leaf cutter bees. Yeah,
leaf cutter bees are a particular type of bee.
They look similar to a European bee.
Well, they have like special blades on them or something.
No, it's just the way they chew the leaf, and they go in a perfect round circle every single time, and they use that to fill in their egg cells. But if you ever see a video of it, it's pretty cool.
Leaf cutter bees.
Yeah.
Are they yellow? They're like the yellow.
I think they're a bit like more of a like a dark sort of goldy color, but they look more black.
Oh, okay.
So it's not as defined as what like the European is. Yeah, but no, they're really cool.
Yeah.
So you'll see them around, but you don't tend to see them very often. They're quite rare to see.
Mm.
But then so providing sort of a habitat for native wasps and bees, and sometimes your insect hotels will end up with like a red wax at the end of the bamboo sort of cylinder sticks.
The openings.
Yeah, that means it's been sealed up and there's eggs in those, which is a good thing.
Oh, so they seal it when there's eggs
inside.
Some
wasps do, yeah. Okay. And that'll be like a red wax. The other thing, yeah, so...
That's when you know it's occupied.
Yeah, well, you can...
It's
oh my God, your jokes. but then you've got... You're so distracting me with your jokes. but then you got beverages. So providing
beverages.
Water for your bees. So taking like a pot saucer, and then you put pebbles or marbles in it, and you fill it up with water, and then you pop them around your garden and have a few different spots. Because in the summer months, bees get really thirsty and struggle to find water source that they won't drown in. So if you can...
So like a bird bath or something wouldn't work?
It would if you, long as you put a lot of stones in it, because the stones act like a resting point that they can rest on and drink from and then fly away. Or if they accidentally fall in, they can actually get onto something and then get out and fly away, or else they'll drown. So usually pot saucers are good because they're shallow enough, and then, you can pop them around your garden in shady areas. But that's always really good. And then providing food all year round.
What kind of food?
So food is through plants, meaning flowers. Yeah. So...
Making sure you've got some in there.
Yeah, you want things that will flower throughout the whole year, and then they've got a food source of pollen or nectar throughout the whole year, so that way they're not ever lacking or having to fly off really, really far to come back to the main hive and then send the next worker bee out, and then they're not having to forage as far. So if there's a diverse
keep
range of
local.
Plants. Yeah, so it can be, in winter you do a lot more natives, because natives flower through the... winter months, so things like grevilleas are really good.
Yeah,
high pollen count in those. And then in the spring, you could do things like asters. Lavender is a really good one as well.
Oh yeah, you always see bees around lavenders.
Yeah, really, really good one. Foxgloves are also really good. Pennisetums. And then in summer, you could do things like sunflowers, which they absolutely love.
Oh yeah,
scabiosas, alstroemerias. Also lavender as well. Limoniums are also not a bad one for them. And then in autumn, even like your veggies, things like your capsicums and chili flowers and things like that will provide food for them.
Yeah.
Russell lupins. And then winter, once again, your natives, or even the anemones, which are the Japanese windflowers, are pretty good for them too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so providing food all year round is a really big thing and a key thing for having a successful pollinator friendly garden, and then also making sure that you're not using pesticides
that like, affects them.
Try and be as organic as you can when you're having a pollinator friendly garden. Using as many organic practices as possible is a really important one.
I guess that's probably important if you're relying on them to make honey as well, because that kind of affect your honey output.
Well, we've got the beehives here, and we make sure that we don't do any pesticides near them. Or if we are, we're using something as organic as possible. Because it does affect them. Then it affects their flight path if they actually get sprayed with something that especially affects their nerves. They get confused and they can't find their way back to the hive, and then they die, or they miscommunicate and send the bees to the wrong spot, and then they die because it's so far from the hive and things like that. Because the way that they flutter their wings when they're back at the hive is how they give direction as to where certain pollen is in the garden. Okay. It's really fascinating if you ever watch a documentary on them. But no, so they're very smart. But using, organic practices and organic fertilizers, and being conscious not to, if you are a beekeeper, to not take too much honey from the hive in autumn because they need because you need to leave enough for them for the winter months to survive and eat.
Yeah.
So usually they need a whole box worth of honey to survive that season, and then you harvest again sort of mid to late summer.
Okay.
Mm.
Because you did a beekeeping course, didn't you?
I did a few weeks back, which was really good.
Yeah.
Because we've got a flow hive, which we've had for a number of years, but you sort of don't get the traditional beekeeping, I guess, experience with that system because it's not quite the same, but it's quite intense because you're all suited up and you pull the hive apart and there's probably around, they said anywhere from 60 to 80,000 bees in one hive.
Whew,
that's so you're standing there and there was six of these hives open. It's just, 200,000 bees in the air just going for us, but with the beekeeping suit, you're thinking, oh,
God. Like Winnie the Pooh on the run.
No, but it sort of opens your eyes that they're not, like, there's people, you see these insane videos online where people handle them without gloves or protection, and it's really, really dangerous, and it's really stupid because you shouldn't encourage that sort of practice.
They'll keep going for you.
Because bees, they're as friendly as you want to believe that they are. They are. They can't be controlled. They're not pets.
Mm.
They're never, ever going to be pets. And they're really dangerous if you get them on a bad day, and if the temperature's too high or too low and you open that hive, they will come for you, and they won't stop until they've decided they've had enough. They won't stop. But, so bees are pretty... Like, they're pretty amazing creatures, but they're also pretty vicious.
Yeah.
Like, the queen, the interesting thing with the queen, you'll get queen cells, which are, like, these little cells within the hive. If you think of, like, a honeycomb, right?
Mm.
And there's these special shaped, they almost look like a cylinder or a ball. And the worker bees have put an egg in there to make a new queen to dethrone the other queen. And when that happens, they kill her. And they kick her out of the hive where she dies. Unless the queen discovers it, or you as the beekeeper don't want to change your queen, you've got to kill that egg cell to stop the worker bees from trying to overrun the hive and change the queen. So it's a really, like...
Sounds like you just described Game of Thrones.
It's a really chaotic thing. It's quite amazing, actually, just how much control the worker bees have. The queen doesn't control anything. She's at the mercy of all the little worker bees.
Whew, uprising.
Mm. Yes, it's really, really interesting. War. And then if there's multiple queen's eggs being laid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say there's five, one hatches before the rest, that new queen's instinct is to go along and kill all the other queen cells.
Make sure no one takes her place.
Yeah, and then she goes off and kills the main queen, and then she becomes the queen bee. It's a really chaotic...
Oh, it's a vicious cycle.
Mm, really, really vicious. But,
they're quite wouldn't want to be a queen bee.
You'd want to be a worker bee. But no, it's it's a very interesting thing with beekeeping.
Yeah. And I guess they play a very important role in the garden as well.
Well, they're our main pollinator. They're responsible for, so much of the world's crops. And there's a lot that people can do. And even if it just means having some flowers in your garden, you'll be helping.
Mm.
So, planting flowers is a huge thing to help bees, mainly with food. You don't have to have a beehive if you're not comfortable with it, but you can provide shelter and you can provide food for them and water to help them, survive a bit better.
Yeah.
So they are declining and dying pretty quick, which is sad as a result of herbicide and just the way that we sort of, culture our gardens now. Mm.
All the more important to be organic and...
Yeah, you're trying organic. Yeah, organic sprays and... planting diverse range of plants and just trying to take care of the environment a little bit better with what we do.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's pretty interesting. I don't realize how
it's a huge in-depth thing. It is. It's a huge topic, but as a rough overview, if you can do one of those three things or all of those three things, those key things, you'll be helping out quite a lot.
Hmm. Nice. Well, it's been very good talking about bees.
Yeah, a little bit serious, but a little bit fun at the same time.
Yes. I've learnt quite a bit.
Mm. Well, we will catch you next time on The Botanical Creative, and we hope you have a great week.
Yes. Keep an eye out for those bees. Let us know if you see a blue-banded one.
Mm.
They're very quick. Keep your eyes peeled.
All right. They'll probably be zipping around. See ya.
Getcha.